That's an important point. Now I want to touch on something which is also important when we speak about knowledge. Because very often we speak about ulama, people of knowledge, and we refer to the Muslim scholars, the people who know, the fuqaha, the jurists, or the people who are dealing with the scriptural sources, and we call them the ulama. So it's as if ilm, which is the root, are referring to everything which is religious, while in the Quran, we have one verse which is important. إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ The people who are God-conscious or fear God or having this loving reference towards God are the scholars, the ulama. Yeah. But we are not talking here about the Muslim scholars.
Not at all.
We are talking about all the
not
scholars.
Not at all.
So which type of knowledges are we talking about
Absolutely.
Here?
Absolutely. There is no specific type of knowledge at all which Islam emphasizes on. When we talk about إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ Those who have knowledge, they fear God, it means in general. It's not only even scientists, for example, physicians and other things, because Islam promoted knowledge in general. It doesn't say that religious knowledge at all. There is no emphasis on part.
So it's all knowledges?
On part of the knowledge. No, in general.
In general.
In general, absolutely. So therefore, this is the difference between Islam and other, probably some specific religions in this case. Mm.
Yes, so let us come to a sensitive question now, because we are always talking about the past, and we are right. You know, during the Middle Ages, what we had coming from, we were referring to the 9th, 10th, 11th centuries, where we have these great philosophers, architectures, we had all these experimental sciences everywhere in the world to get some knowledge. People were coming back to two things, is where Muslim scholars were, but also Arabic language. And we have so many people who had to learn Arabic to get this knowledge and to be able to be updated as to medicine, as to experimental sciences. We come today, and every time we speak about knowledge, we celebrate the past, and we are lost in the present. What happened? How come such a message, which was full of knowledge, no way for you to be close to God if you don't get knowledge, if you don't get understanding, if you don't get deep knowledge of the world and deep knowledge of human beings and societies, how come are we facing such a crisis today?
Well, first of all, I think I should mention that Muslims themselves in the 9th or probably started with 8th century, they began to synthesize philosophy and Islamic ethics and Islamic principles. And I think Muslims at that time, they did a great job, because it wasn't easy to bring a Greek philosophy, for example, to discuss it, to analyze it, and make it or synthesize it with Islam.
They even added many things on the Greek philosophy.
Yeah. And from that synthesis, a new science was born. That is Ilm al-Kalam. Ilm al-Kalam is a creation of Muslims. I mean, there was no Ilm al-Kalam before that at all. And that Ilm al-Kalam, which is, of course, you could call it Islamic theology, influenced other religions, for example. For example, Judaism influenced by this. And there are many books by Jews about Ilm al-Kalam in Mu'tazilite, among the Mu'tazilite schools,
the rationalists,
and so on. So therefore, Muslims tried very hard, in fact, and I think they were successful, and they avoided a disaster. This is why we continued that attempt, and that success continued until recent time.
many people have this impression that we have to avoid philosophy, while philosophy was something which was integrated in the Islamic history in a positive way at the beginning. And then we had tensions between scholars and philosophers. So, and then we come to experimental sciences. We were at the forefront, the Muslims were at the forefront for years and centuries.
Absolutely.
Now it's not the case. What happened?
Yeah, if you go to Muslim universities, I taught in some Arab universities, and philosophy was taught. For example, in Iraq, we teach philosophy, and different period of philosophy, Greek philosophy, Islamic philosophy.
When we come close to Islamic sciences, it's as if philosophy, we have to avoid that. So my point here is that it could be taught, the level of the teaching, the scope of the teaching is not the same as in the past. So it's as if today, this civilization, which was at the forefront with the oldest Muslim scholars and coming from all the horizons, what you said is so, so important. In all the field, it's today the Muslims. Where are we when it comes to now this scientific contribution to the world?
We have some philosophers, Muslim philosophers. For example, Hussein Nasr in America, right? Mm. He's a philosopher, or he was. I don't know whether he's still alive or dead.
He's still alive.
Yeah, must be old age. Mm. I mean, the man is considered by even European scholars as philosopher. I think you agree with me.
I agree with you, but he's more an exception than the rule.
Well,
My problem is about the scientific state of affairs in the Muslim-majority country. While when it comes to Islam, we all agree and repeat this, that Islam is promoting it. It's so important that the path that you take to get some knowledge is the same path that you take to come to go to paradise. This is what we got in the Islamic tradition. Yeah. So why is it that today we are not we are not emphasizing knowledge the same way in our Muslim majority countries?
Well, I probably cannot answer you or cannot answer that question, but what I have to say, that societies change, right? The structure of the society change. The programs at the universities change. The people who put those programs in the universities, they also change. So if we have at the moment no wide scope for scientific knowledge or philosophy in general, maybe in the century to come, we will have it wider. We will have probably more scope for that.
So that's good that you are very positive about the past and about the future. What would you say to some of the Muslims, young generations of Muslims around the world, in the West, for example, or elsewhere, who are now trying to, you know, they are in universities, they are now more successful, the more, you know, with time now, they are integrating the academic system, they are integrating the school system. How do they have to deal with all these sciences that are sometimes perceived as not really Islamic? What would be your advice in Islamic terms? What should they do?
Well, to be honest with you, I am very pleased that some of the Muslim students, they succeeded so well and they excelled on their subjects. And some of the Muslims, they got Nobel Prize, for example, like Ahmed Zewail and probably Najib Mahfouz in literature and so on. I am very pleased that some of our students in Europe, they excelled in their subject and much better in some fields than the European. And I encourage them, but what they need, in fact, they need to be strong in their faith. They need a good foundation in Islam. When you have a great, solid foundation in your faith, you will have no problem in learning anything in science, and you would not have any obstacle. So I think what is my advice to these people, to these students, that they should emphasize first on their knowledge, on their faith, to have good and solid foundation in their faith, then whatever they want to study, they can study. No problem.
Thank you so much. I think that with this discussion, coming back to what you were saying at the beginning, I think that you can't understand the very essence of the Islamic message if you don't connect this message with knowledge and science and understanding. And as you were saying, we can see this through the Islamic history and the Islamic civilization, how many philosophers and scientists and artists also were in nurturing not only the Muslim majority countries, but also the world with a great contribution. Now, their ears, and as you were positive, you are saying sometimes, you know, we are at the top and sometimes things are changing and things are moving, and maybe in the future we'll come with a better involvement. But hopefully, the point that you are making towards the young generations is to be very involved in knowledge, in sciences, at the same time not to forget their roots, which is this understanding of their Islamic faith. Because a deep understanding of Islamic faith make it easier to deal with all the sciences. Well, that's all we have time for. Please let us know your thoughts and views on any of the shows you have seen. And here is the way to contact us.
We at Islam and Life would like to hear your views about the subjects that we discuss. We would also love to hear your suggestions for the program, so get in touch with us. You can share your thoughts with other Islam and Life fans, engage in debate, and find out how to watch our previous shows. Follow us on Twitter at Islam and Life TV, or join us on Facebook by liking our page, Islam and Life on Press TV.
Finally, I would like to thank my guest, Dr. Jafar Hadi Hassan. Thank you so much for being
with
us. And I hope to see you next week, inshallah.